This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission scheduled for May 18th. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. The Federal Election Commission open meeting for Thursday, May 18th, 2006 will come to order. First item of business this morning, correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move for the consideration and approval of the minutes for May 4th, 2006, as set forth in Agenda Document 06-38.
Vice Chairman is so moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries by a vote of all six commissioners present. Second item of business this morning, Draft Advisory Opinion 2006-15, submitted on behalf of TransCanada Corporation. And from the counsel's office, we have Dwayne Pugh and Mai Din. And Mr. Pugh, good morning.
Thank you. Two subsidiaries of TransCanada Corporation would like to donate and disperse corporate funds in connection with state and local elections. The draft advisory opinion before the commission first concludes that the two subsidiaries are not themselves foreign nationals because each is incorporated in the United States and each has its principal place of business in the United States. The draft further concludes that the subsidiaries have structured their proposed activities so that the funds used in connection with state and local elections are derived solely from the subsidiaries' domestic operations. This ensures that no foreign national is directly or indirectly making the donations or disbursements. Furthermore, no foreign national personnel will participate in decision-making concerning the political activities beyond setting overall budget levels. Consistent with a long line of previous advisory opinions from before and after BCRA's amendments to FECA, the draft advisory opinion concludes that the two subsidiaries may make the donations and disbursements in connection with state and local elections to the extent permitted by state and local law under the proposed arrangements. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh. Discussion of the proposed advisory opinion response. Commissioner Walther.
I did have some concerns in connection with this, and granted I didn't participate in some of the previous advisory board decisions, so I know that there's been somewhat of a history in this case, but I think what concerns me is we have a situation where we have no information regarding who consists of the parents, what the parent is comprised, the individuals on that, so I'm assuming they'd be foreign nationals. In here, they will be selecting, unless this would be quite unusual, they will select all the people on the board of the subsidiaries. And then in this case, they have made the decision to have at least one foreign national on a three-person board, so that they've selected all of the board members of the subsidiary, one of which is a foreign national, and then the foreign national, at least, in a case like this, would participate in how much money the subsidiary spends, and the parent may well participate as well. It isn't clear whether they would participate in a round table discussion or not in how much money is being spent. And to me, first of all, when you select the people who are making those decisions, and then secondly, one of them is not a foreign national, I think we break down the independent aspect of it to the point where it's very hard for me to say that there's not some indirect influence in this participation. If they made all the decisions, if there was totally U.S. subsidiary board, or there was a parent that had a significant number of people who were U.S. Citizens, for example, when some of these larger corporations are merging and they find themselves really as joint ventures and they have equal people on the board from two major entities, whether it's Daimler, Chrysler, or others, they have their own business reasons for setting up independent structures. So I think there's a way to do this, but in this particular case, I'm reluctant to support it. I know that this has been part of some history going back to some degree, but I think what I'd like to see is the commission consider some rules that might set up a structure that could work. In this particular case, we're looking to corporate money, not PAC money, spent on state and local elections. And while my general thought has been that Becker does go into state and local elections to a degree that maybe is what I would normally otherwise choose if I were a legislator, we clearly say that there can be no indirect use of foreign money or foreigners in making these decisions. If it were a PAC, for example, I could see it differently. That has a different type of a structure. There's voluntary aspects to who puts the money in, but here we're talking about pure corporate money. I'm not really persuaded by the fact that they would set up a separate fund because, as we all know, it seems clear here that the subsidiary may well be also deriving money from foreign sources, not just the local sources as well, and it may be a matter of robbing Peter to pay Paul. Commissioner Weintraub said to me, what you're really worried about is maybe the structure is just set up so that it won't be handled in a way that ensures compliance. And I say, to a large degree, I think that's true. That's not to say that in a given case it couldn't be done. But I think the structure is so loose here that we really don't have, I don't have the confidence that it couldn't be avoided quite easily also. As a practical matter, people select people on their boards who are going to do just what the parent wants. That's what they do. And I think in that case, you've got to be especially careful before you release the authority just to a board that is selected by, the say, the foreign nationals and say, okay, you can spend $2 million without knowing pretty much exactly where that money is going to go. It's just not in real life likely to happen. I noticed that some previous commissioners took the same position, and quoting from dissent in the FEC advisory opinion 19928A, they pointed out that just as domestic corporations and subsidiaries are seen as one entity in order to prevent a parent corporation from making excessive contributions to its subsidiary political committees, so too a foreign national parent and its subsidiary should be seen as one entity to prevent the foreign national corporation from making prohibited contributions to its subsidiaries. And I see it to a large degree the same way, unless we take it upon ourselves to really build a structure that would, in my own mind, give me comfort that we weren't allowing indirect contributions to be made. So those are my concerns.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think you raise a number of important concerns. And in 2002, when the Commission was implementing McCain-Feingold at BCRA, and I thought it was important that we do this, we put out for comment this question, because as the draft points out, the BCRA, Congress did intend to strengthen the foreign national ban in BCRA, and the draft talks about how this new language about indirectly as well as directly, the prohibition extending further, broader statutory language. And so the Commission decided to seek comment on this difficult issue of U.S. subsidiaries of foreign parents and whether Congress intended for the Commission to take a different approach to these issues in passing BCRA, which I think was a very plausible thing to see comment on. I was surprised at both the number of comments and the relative unanimity of them, including, as I recall, from the sponsors of BCRA saying we didn't intend to change the equation in this area, because I think, you know, quite plausibly looking at the statutory language, this directly and indirectly language, it could have been possible to conclude that Congress perhaps did want us to change our longstanding approach. But, and counsel, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think even the sponsors of the legislation submitted comments in that proceeding saying that that wasn't the goal of Congress in amending Section 441E, and that I, at least from the sponsor's perspective, they were comfortable with the Commission's historical three-part test, in this area, which, although far from perfect, at least from their perspective, they thought was appropriate. And as I understand the analysis here, we are applying this three-part test, you know, namely that all the contributions have to be made out of earnings from the U.S. sub, that second of all, the foreign parent cannot reimburse the U.S. sub for any of the donations, and three, that no foreign national be involved in the decision-making about where to give, and that these criteria that the Commission has historically worked with are met here. But I think, Commissioner Walter, you raised important issues, and it was something that we struggled with in 2002, and I was surprised at the breadth of the comments that we got then, because it seemed like most of the major issues we tackled with, no one agreed on how we ought to handle it. But in this one area, there did seem to be some broad-based agreement. Discussion on the issues raised? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yeah, hi. I was also interested in the statutory argument that this is inconsistent with how we treat parents and subsidiary corporations in the context of who constitutes the solicitable class and the affiliation rules.
Council's thoughts on these issues raised? Mr.
Yes.
Pugh.
Yes, a couple. There are some facts in the advisory opinion request that may address some of these concerns to some extent. And first, I wanted to point out on page 2 of the request, they explain that the budget levels would be set at a not to exceed amount. So they'll be specifying the maximum expenditures, but then the individual personnel that will participate in the decision making beyond that will all be U.S. citizens or permanent residents, and that those people will be selected only by those directors who are U.S. citizens or permanent residents. So there is an additional layer there no foreign national participation, even in the selection of the people that are going to carry out these activities. And the second fact in the request that I wanted to highlight is on page 5 of their request, they go over both the net income and the funds from operations for both of the subsidiaries that are derived from their operations in the United States, and also explain that these funds are maintained in separate accounts that would be the source of the funds used in connection with state and local elections, and that provides another level of insulation from any foreign national funds. The sponsors did comment on the rulemaking, as the chairman indicated, that directly or indirectly wasn't intended to reach this issue. And there are the long line of advisory opinions, some before and at least one after BCRA, where the commission maintained that position that a subsidiary in this situation using funds from operations in the United States when the subsidiary itself is not a foreign national, and the individual personnel making the decisions are not foreign nationals, that the commission has permitted that in those previous advisory opinions.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh. Discussion? Commissioner Walther.
Well, I think those are factors that are important, but I don't think that, to me, if we had a rule that had some structure to it that we could all feel, if applied, would ensure, is the word we use, that there would be complete independence in all respects, and that the money was truly generated and not on the balance sheet. There are ways I see could be done, and also with a PAC. I mean, these companies could do that, but they don't. And so what you're talking about is pure corporate money from a foreign corporation who is there to make money, whether it's American or not, and they don't see it any different when it comes to the balance sheet or when dividends are declared. I still think there's a lack of independence, especially when the assist that a foreign national has to be on the board in a three-person board. And if it was one foreign national and a 15-person board, maybe there'd be some difference there. But here, one-third of the decision-making process occurs, and if one U.S. citizen and the foreign national decide that they're going to make a decision on a number of aspects, then that's basically what's going to happen. And that decision would also include how much money is going to be spent. And everyone knows that on a three-person board, they're all going to really know how that money is going to be spent. So in a given case, the foreign national could make the difference in the vote in determining whether to even give any money this year or not if in their own mind they didn't think that it was going to be spent in a way that they considered was consistent with their own philosophy. So that's my concern. That one case, that foreign national could make all the difference in determining whether or not they're even going to spend money. So you have a situation where the parent selects the board, and then one foreign national could make the difference on the subsidiary. And I think we really water down the independence structure to the point where it's not really, and it is truly potentially indirect. So that's my concern.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I guess my question is, given that what Mr. Pugh just clarified, which I thought was very helpful, and correct me if I'm not repeating it correctly, that the decision makers for the PAC are not only U.S. citizens, but they're selected by exclusively U.S. citizens who are on the board of the subsidiary. Did I get that right?
U.S. citizens or permanent residents.
Or permanent residents.
And they're not proposing to set up a PAC, but to the people that would be making the decisions about the political
right.
donations
right.
and disbursements.
So the people who are going to be deciding about the one of the concerns that I thought I heard you express, Commissioner, was that there would be foreign nationals, foreign citizens who would be making decisions about which U.S. citizens would be making the decisions. And what Mr. Pugh said, I think, is the answer to that, because only U.S. citizens will be picking, or permanent residents, will be picking the people who will be U.S. citizens or permanent residents who will be making the decisions.
Well, two things.
Commissioner Walther.
I apologize. Okay. Two things. The foreign nationals ultimately are making the decision on who's making the decision, because the parents are going to decide that, unless this parent structure is different than what I anticipated probably is in this case. So you do have the decision made by foreign nationals, if I'm correct in my assumption, deciding who's going to be on the subsidiary board. They then, in turn, have one person who can decide, make the difference between how much money is even spent, and then in theory, they can then decide how that's going to be parceled out among U.S. citizens, but you still don't eliminate, A, the selection of the people who will be ultimately deciding who will be deciding, or if they are deciding, where the money goes, or how much money is going to be made. A foreign national can make that decision on his or her own in a case like this. It might be a little different if you had there are different ways to structure this. The PAC doesn't bother me. But here, you have, of the three, that foreign national could, in any case, be the deciding vote.
So, Commissioner Weintraub.
But only on setting a cap on the foreign nationals, only that one... well, for one thing, I don't know how one person outvotes two, but if... the only decision that the foreign national is going to be participating in is the overall cap. I mean, the way I envision this is the input of the foreign nationals would be limited to, well, okay, if you guys want to participate in U.S. politics, you can do it, but don't waste more than X dollars of the corporate funds on this project. And, you know, after that, deciding who's going to get the money or what ballot initiatives they're going to participate in, that's going to be decided not only by U.S. citizens or permanent residents, but U.S. citizens or permanent residents who were picked by other U.S. citizens or permanent residents.
Well, I understand your point, and I think we've probably been through the iterations well enough so we all understand how that works, but in my view, you still have... An overriding structure that's been imposed upon the subsidiary of a three-person board, one of whom must be a foreign national. So that keeps the other two pretty much in line. If one isn't consistent with the parent philosophy, the foreign national can vote with the other to make sure it gets done. And when you control the purse strings, everything else is kind of secondary, because that decision can decide whether any money is being spent or not. And there's no assurance here as to how they set this budget. Is it for each election? Is it for each campaign? Is it annually? So I do think that these political budgets can be set in a variety of different ways that may or may not really provide any indirect influence. So with the lack of the structure, I'm concerned about watering down, which I consider to be watering down one more step this particular potential for contributions unintended by the Act.
And perhaps it would be a different analysis if the board that was setting the budget, there were no foreign nationals on that board. It's the presence of one out of three that, in your view, has an ingredient here?
It definitely is an ingredient, in my view. And there's a reason why they're there, too. They've structured two subsidiaries, and each one has a foreign national on it. And it could potentially be a person who's on the parent board as well. They don't say that it isn't, or how that person's selected. It's not selected, at least they say, by that of the person on the board by or nominated by the other two U.S. citizens. It comes from the parent. They hold all the shares of stock. They get all the distributions, the dividends. So realistically, there won't be any contributions made for politics that the parent doesn't pretty much agree with.
The vice chairman had raised some statutory questions. Counsel's thoughts on the issues raised by the vice chairman. Ms. Dent.
Thank you. I, when analyzing the affiliation issue with what we're doing here with this advisory opinion, it's sort of like comparing apples and oranges. They serve different purposes. The reason why we look at parent and subsidiary was the purposes of soliciting contributions in terms of the assistable class for an SSF. It's a little different from what we're doing here, which is to determine who can participate in the decision-making of a corporation engaging in political activity. But the one thing to note is both process looks at not only who can be involved, but who cannot be involved. And the affiliation obviously talks about in identifying subsidiaries and parents who are affiliated, it talks about who is in the assistable class and who's not in the assistable class. And here we're talking about also who can actually be part of decision-making. But to take those two analogies and somehow drawing that because we treat parent and subsidiaries the same under affiliation and carry that forward to determining whether or not a domestic subsidiary is in fact independent of the parent for purposes of making these decisions is a little bit of comparing, like I said, apples and oranges. They serve different purposes, and so it would be a little unfair to carry that analogy forward from one situation to another.
Additional discussion. Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Well, I just want to say that I don't doubt the sincerity of Commissioner Walther's concerns, but I just don't agree with any of them. I mean, first of all, you seem to be taking the position that because the ownership of these companies is foreign, that permeates them and really makes them foreign nationals. And that goes against the corporate laws of every state in the United States. If you are incorporated in the United States and you have a headquarters in the United States, you are a U.S. corporation, you are not a foreign national. And we don't have the ability under the law and the statute, which I think is pretty clear, to tell a domestic U.S. company that they can't make these kind of contributions if they meet the other requirements of the law. Second, I think you've said, and I think it's important to make sure the record is straight on this, that we can't prevent foreign money from flowing through the company and into American elections. Well, our advisory opinion makes it very clear, based on the facts that we were given in our request, that one, these domestic companies do not receive any subsidies from their parent company. They don't get any money from their parent company. Second, the income they make in the United States from their business exceeds all their expenses even after their debt service. Third, they have domestic bank accounts. That's the accounts into which all their money flows, and that's the accounts out of which their political donations. So, the idea that somehow foreign money is going to go, that's not the case, and our advisory opinion lays this out very clearly that that's not the case. There aren't going to be foreign nationals making decisions on individual states and individual donations, as I think you indicated might be a problem, because in fact they have said that the only thing that's going to happen is there's going to be an overall budget for political donations and disbursements on an annual basis at a not-to-exceed amount. And then the U.S. citizens and legal residents, they will select who the individuals are who will make the decision. So there isn't going to be any individual decisions by the foreign nationals on this board about which state they're going to spend the money in, who it's going to go to, and how much each candidate is going to get. I mean, I understand the concerns, but the advisory opinion lays out very specifically answers to every single one of these issues and lays it out so there clearly is not going to be any foreign influence, direct or indirect, on the money being made. I may be a little prejudiced by this because of the fact that I used to work for the domestic subsidiary of a foreign company, and I could tell you that the idea that the foreign parent was somehow dictating every move we made is not the reality, at least of the corporation I worked for. And under that kind of a view, there's hardly a corporation in the United States that would be able to get involved in state campaigns where they're allowed to legally, because certainly with publicly owned companies, when their shares are out and traded, many of them are owned by all kinds of foreign individuals and foreign companies in various percentages. And I guess I really don't see a problem here, particularly because we've laid out the standards very clearly on what can be done and under what circumstances it can be done.
Thank you.
One final comment.
Commissioner Walther.
I appreciate your comments on in that regard, but we are here because there's a law that says that no foreign money or foreign national shall participate indirectly or directly in providing money for a campaign. And whether it comes, I know there's the argument that it's all generated in the United States, but it all belongs to foreign nationals because they own the money. They own the asset. So really that issue, in other contexts, has been said to be a factor, but not a persuasive one. In this particular case, I think a structure is possible, but they've chosen not to have a PAC, for example. I see that differently, where you have volunteer contributions made by employees to participate in the political process, just like we do for domestic corporations. So, to me, the question has to be whether we really have an indirect participation. And in this particular case, I think it seems to me that it's kind of a built-in methodology to participate indirectly, but in a more subtle way. So I'm concerned about that without having us participate in preparing some regulations that would apply across the board. Your experience with one corporation may well be the same, but I've practiced law for 30 years, and I know that most of the time when people come in and they form subsidiaries, they do so for a very specific reason. Whether it's a local bank, for example, or somebody coming in from Canada, and they are there for a particular reason, and they want to know where their money is spent, and by golly, that's the way they make sure it gets spent. They may have American citizens on there because the state law requires it, or because they want some local color. But when it comes right down to how the money is spent, it's made somewhere else, generally. So those are my concerns. I recognize that they don't have the support of the majority of the board, but I just wanted to lay that out. So hopefully in the fact we can come back and look at this and maybe set up some structure that wouldn't require advisory opinions all the time on this.
Thank you, Commissioner Walther. Further discussion on these issues? Commissioner Mason.
I just wanted to make a couple of very quick observations about some considerations that have come before us in the past. I think the nature of the economy, both the domestic economy and the global economy, is such that we probably would have difficulty constructing a set of rules that would encompass all the various decisions. And one of the arguments that came up one time before, for instance, was that there are a number of foreign companies. Nokia, for instance, was cited specifically, but there are a number of others, I think some of the Canadian companies as well, where the company is headquartered overseas, but a majority of the stock is owned by American citizens. And so, you know, we just get all those kinds of mixtures to have to contemplate. I respect Commissioner Walther's argument, and I think it is particularly owing of respect, since historically other commissioners have held it consistently, and so I think we appreciate that. But I don't think we're going to change minds at this point. So I would move approval of the draft advisory opinion.
Commissioner Mason's moved approval of agenda docket number 0639 regarding advisory opinion 2006-15. Discussion on Commissioner Mason's motion. Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries by a vote of 5-1 with Commissioner Walther dissenting. Thank you, Ms. Dinh and Mr. Pugh. Mr. Costa, any administrative matters to bring to our attention at this time?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.